We go to the word of the Lord. The book of Exodus. Chapter 33. Moses is having some of his intensive times of prayer and interaction with the Lord. And it's in this area that, at verse 19 we're going to, Exodus 33, 19. It's in these chapters, in these areas that he is requesting, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord saying, I'll put you in a cleft of the rock. I'll pass by, you'll see my glory. And we know there was much more that was to come. Praise God. The glory of the Lord that he was going to see on the mount that we call Transfiguration, where the Lord was transfigured. Praise God. But in verse 19, the Lord is making his proclamation. And Moses, of course, is the one who writes it down. And this is what he recorded. Exodus 33:19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I want you to catch the I wills there. We get on shaky ground. We get in turbulent times. And we wonder what's happening, what's going on, what's the outcome going to be. Just remember, God has his will in mind. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. Goodness, gracious, mercy. That's what we call this. Sounds like euphemisms. There was one among us who was death on euphemisms. And it was almost fun to use them in front of her just to have some fun. Sister Churchill was very, very adamant. Do not use euphemism. And that's a good idea. You know, if you're going to use biblical terms in a biblical setting, that's fine. Don't use them as, you know, just some expression that the world is very comfortable with, including euphemisms. A real popular Christian group that ended up writing a song and recording one that is very well recognized, I can only imagine. A beautiful song, tremendous message, and a wonderful hope that being in the presence of the Lord, will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? You know, and will I praise you, Lord, and will I be able to speak at all? And, oh, it's just incredible to imagine. And the grandma of the lead singer, the writer, was amazed that they had a music group. And her exclamation was, they have a music group? Mercy me. And that was the name of the group. Mercy me. Oh, well. All my goodness. When you consider who it is that's saying that, and Moses hearing it, and having this, if I can say it, private time with the Lord, his devotion, his time of talking to the Lord. And the Lord saying, all my goodness will pass before thee. Amen. We thank God for the superlatives that we learn about in school, good, better, best. And in the Hebrew, this superlative being the best, all of my goodness, praise God. I'm thankful that we can recognize that dimension of power and blessing that the Lord would bring about, and how Jesus is the supreme superlative. All that would entail the goodness of God, Jesus came. All that would show the power of God, Jesus came. All that would reveal the miracles, thank God, the Lord Jesus fulfills it all. Amen. And we exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God. Goodness occurs 51 times in the King James Version of the Bible. Thank God that it refers mainly to the goodness of the Lord, not man. Man being inherently good? Yeah. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, the Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And oh, thank God, the Lord steps on the scene. The Lord moves in our situations. The Lord touches our lives and our hearts. Thank God. And we can be changed by the impact of his goodness. Romans 2 and 4 presents a situation where the question is asked, do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Oh, thank God for the riches of his goodness. I'm not going to despise it. I'm not going to take it lightly. I'm not going to show contempt. And his riches of forbearance and long-suffering, his tolerance and his patience. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to move and weave his goodness into our lives, even when we're not aware of it. Uh-huh. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. But there's much more that he adds. There's many more things that he provides. And I thank God that he adds them to us again and again. But sorrow? No, there's no sorrow that he adds. That sorrow comes from sin. That sorrow comes from society. That sorrow comes from trying to please self. But thank God, the Lord knows how to add his goodness, his blessing, his power, his riches. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Know that God's riches are in his glory. His riches are in his wisdom and knowledge. I don't have time to go to the scriptures today, but you can find them. God's riches of grace, God's riches of mercy, God's riches that are unsearchable. Thank God that we know his power and his goodness. And they're designed to lead us to repentance. Praise God. Repent. Your sins will be blotted out, and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that we know the blessing of repentance and know that the Lord is there to minister to us, not just to feel good, to be changed for good. Hallelujah. Not just any way that is added to us, but chronologically as well. Amen. Not to go back from those things. The moral excellence that is in the goodness of God is what the Lord desires us to receive. It's God's will. We looked at the will there. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God we continue in his goodness so we don't experience his severity. And the psalmist declared, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Thank God for his goodness. Now, gracious in the Hebrew means kindness. It means favor. It means what is bestowed upon us. Thank the Lord for His grace. Grace is not just a New Testament theme. It occurs in the Old Testament as well. 170 times in the King James Version, grace is referenced. Thank God Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses also found grace in God's eyes. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, and God wanted to bless him with His presence. Moses wanted the presence of the Lord. He wanted more of God's glory, and thank the Lord, the power of God and His grace would be manifest. And the Lord came with the fullness of His grace. The Bible lets us know grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He was full of grace and truth. That graciousness, that divine influence upon our hearts, and the reflection of that divine influence that continues in our lives. Thank God for the power of truth. In the Greek, that word is so powerful. Truth in the Greek means truth. Praise God. You don't have to embellish it. You don't have to add to it. You don't have to replace it with something else. Truth is truth, and it brings freedom. It brings power. It brings deliverance. Hallelujah. And we see it in the face of Jesus Christ. The ability to know what is right and the power to do what is right is the truth and the grace that God has provided for us. Now let's consider for a moment the opposite of grace, disgrace. Jeremiah 14 and 21. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. This is a desperation that Jeremiah is pleading with God and reaching out to the Lord. He didn't want to fail. He didn't want to faint. I'm thankful that God does not fall away from His covenant and from His promises. He does not fail. Amen. God will give up to those who insist upon moving into the realm of truth or untruth and delusion. God will even send strong delusion. And I pray, oh God, let me walk in your truth. Let me live in your graciousness. Let me hold on to what you have blessed me with and not move into the realms of sinfulness. Amen. I don't want the loss of grace. I don't want the loss of favor or honor or the condition of one fallen from grace. I want to move on in the realm of the power of the Lord and not do despite unto the grace of God. Hebrews 10 and 29 would help us to recognize that is possible. And the punishment that would come for him who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. An insult that would come to the Spirit of grace, and the punishment would be sure. And oh God, help us to recognize the Son of God, the blood of the covenant, being sanctified, the Spirit of grace, all the positive influences of that verse that can be so powerful. Thank God that we have grace to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, you have all you need and you will abound to every good work. That's what I want to receive in the things of God. Oh, thank the Lord for His mercy. Thank the Lord for His mercy, His goodness, His grace, His mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His compassionate love, mercy 276 times in the King James Version. Amen. Thank God that we can focus on what is positive. We know there's judgment. We know there's hell. We know there's those things that come against the wicked. But I'm thankful there are so many references to what the Lord would provide in his blessing. The goodness that appears 51 times. The grace that is there 170 times. And then mercy 276 times. The most mentioned in the Word of God. Oh, thank God for his mercy. It's good to turn to Psalm 136, even though it may seem redundant, even though it may become monotonous, even though we may recognize every verse ends the same way, but thank God we can rejoice. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessing that is there, and the Lord in his power would magnify his mercy. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's the last time that mercy appears in the scripture, Jude 21. And thank God, the love of the Lord is not something difficult that we've got to try with all of our might to keep ourselves in. No, don't slip away from it, is what it's saying. Don't focus on something else. Don't try to find something else to satisfy. But keep yourself in the love of God. Keep looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, because eternal life is where it's going to lead. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for mercy that Joseph had with his brothers. When they came and knelt down before this Egyptian power, this Egyptian ruler, they didn't know who he is. Joseph, their brother. He could have taken vengeance. He could have, in his place of power, he could have paid them back. But thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Amen. And the blessing of the Lord that would come with, we see Jesus in the Gospels with his mercy on Elizabeth. Thank God. And the baby that was born. The blind beggars that the scripture says he had mercy. Bartimaeus, he experienced mercy. The 10 lepers. The Syrophoenician woman. The father with the demon-possessed boy. Specifically, mercy being extended to them. Thank God that the Lord would provide that means of mercy for us. Father, forgive them. Mercy. Thank the Lord for forgiveness and mercy. The Lord's not going to fail. No, his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. His love never fails. Praise God. And oh, I'm thankful we can experience the riches of God's grace, the riches of God's mercy, and know that he continues to provide, hallelujah, and blessing and supplying all of our need according to his riches in glory. Praise God. Now let's look again at our verse of scripture that we started with. If you'd put it on the screen, please. Exodus 33:19. And I'm going to read it again. And every time the word will appears, you're going to shout it out, all right? You're going to say it. Because I want to emphasize God declaring his will. And he said, I make all my goodness pass before thee. And I proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and be gracious to whom I be gracious, and show mercy on whom I show mercy. I think the Lord's trying to get us to understand his will is not going to be thwarted. His will is not going to end. His will is not going to be undone. His will is not going to be changed. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. His goodness, his gracious, his mercy are his characteristics, and he is unchanging. Hallelujah. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can change him. Nothing can hold him back. Now, I can. I can decide, no, I don't want it. No, I'm going to go after something else. No, I'm going to find something else. I can be stupid. I can be an idiot. I can walk away. But with all my heart, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow after the Lord. I want His will to be done in my life. You know, we look around at our situation right now. We prayed for Red Dog Mine, and why is COVID erupting there, over 50 cases and more every day? Why is that situation taking place? Why are they not allowing the preacher to come back to his church in Kiana and Norvik? And we may wonder what is happening in our country and all of the situations that are taking place there and all of the changes in society, the wickedness that is coming forth in greater measures than we've ever seen. But I'm going to trust His will. I'm going to hold on to His will, because His will includes mercy. His will includes grace. His will includes goodness. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. And I'll remember the Lord declaring, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me." Praise God. That's what I want. Stand with me now, please. Thank God for the goodness of His mercy. Thank God for the goodness of His touch, the goodness of His power, the goodness of His blessing. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for all that we wouldn't recognize in terms of His mercy. Hallelujah. And how He would bless, how He would magnify, how He would increase, how He would open up. Amen. Praise God. You know that old saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet." We can apply that to the Lord and recognize there's so much more that God wants to give. So much more that God wants to provide. Our faith has got to reach beyond our circumstances. So easy to focus on what would satisfy now, what would bring the element of completion or wholeness in terms of what the devil has to offer and what the world would hold forth and say, "This is what you need. This is what you have to experience. This is what you have to have." Now our faith, like Moses, needs to go beyond and see, no, there's greater treasure. There's greater treasure than what I see around me. Amen. And I recognize the pleasures of sin are just for a season. They're here and they're gone. The season's changing. It just seems like the trees were turning green just a few weeks ago, and now the leaves are falling. Seasons come so fast and then go just as quickly. The pleasures of sin are like that. They're here just for a season. And then the emptiness, then the problems, then the repercussions, then the consequences that cannot be reversed. And oh, thank God we can make a better choice. We can go a different way. We can hold on to what we know to be true and real and powerful. We can make it a priority above everything else. Amen. Not trying to walk as close to the edge as I can because I want to see what might be there. Oh, no. Staying away from that edge. Getting closer to the Lord. Holding on to His promises. Recognizing His goodness, His graciousness, His mercy is what I want to focus on. Hallelujah. Because He never changes. He never changes. Praise God. Praise God. And thank the Lord. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. For this whole community. For this whole peninsula. for our whole state, for the whole world. The Lord never runs out, never runs dry, never is incomplete, but continues in a powerful way to minister to our needs. Thank God. Can we come and pray? Now we got to distance a little bit.